We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navien tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host, LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vassin.
Dodgers hold on for a 14-11 win over the Angels at the Big A in Anaheim. David Vassay live at Angels Stadium with you until 11:30 here on Dodger Talk, taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Clayton Kershaw picks up his fifth win of the season. Dylan Bundy, the losing pitcher, he is winless, 0-4. And Blake Treinen had to come into this game for his first save of the season. The Dodger offense, no, they didn't hit any home runs tonight, but they were able to put together a couple of crooked numbers that really benefited them in the long run of this game. 8 runs in the fourth inning, 5 in the fifth inning, and they tacked on one more in the seventh for good measure. The Angels came back with 4 in the sixth and 7 in the seventh. Kershaw came out of this game with a 13-0 lead after five scoreless innings and 71 pitches. These two teams combined to score 25 runs from the fourth inning to the seventh inning. They did not have a run or a hit in the first three innings of the game, and then the Angels came back to outscore the Dodgers in the sixth and seventh inning tonight, 11-1, after the Dodgers outscored the Angels 13-0 in the fourth and fifth inning. And honestly, both sides turned it into a spring training game because Joe Maddon took Mike Trout out of the game. Dave Roberts took all his regulars except Muncy and Taylor basically out of the game. So it kind of went sideways with the Dodger bullpen. Dennis Santana could only get one out in the sixth inning when Mitch White had to come in, and then Mitch White couldn't get the third out of the seventh inning, and Garrett Clevenger gave up a 3-run home run to Jose Rojas, and that's when Dave Roberts had to do something he was hoping not to have to do when he had a 13-0 lead, and that's bring in Victor Gonzalez and Blake Treinen for the final two innings of tonight's game. Look, you can agree or disagree about taking Kershaw out after five innings tonight. There's an argument to be made to go one more and not have your middle relief, which is kind of shaky these days, have to cover four innings. But look, if your bullpen can't protect a 13-0 lead in the sixth inning, then you got some major issues. And I think we all know, and I've said this, when people ask me on, you know, Petros and Money, Rogan and Rodney, and wherever I go, what's the biggest concern? It's not the offense. It's the bullpen for me. And I think that reared its ugly head again tonight. So the Dodgers definitely have to find what works. They have to find some formula of relievers that they can trust and not run into the ground, because it is a long season. You can't trot out Victor Gonzalez and Blake Treinen every night along with Kenley Jansen. You just can't. That's not sustainable. So these other guys in the bullpen are going to have to find a way to have mound presence and be able to come into a game even with a 13-0 lead and do your job. It just didn't seem like Dennis Santana was engaged when he came into the game knowing it's a 13-0 lead. All you have to do is throw strikes. It's very simple. A 13-0 lead, just throw strikes. You're not trying to fool anybody. And honestly, I think the guy that gets fooled the most is Dennis himself. I'm not sure he knows where the baseball's going. It has that much movement. He has that little command of his pitches. And, you know, I'm sure Dave Roberts isn't that happy about the way things unfolded tonight. I'm sure he's happy with the win because the Dodgers needed one. really badly after only having one so far on this 10-game road trip, which was last Sunday in Milwaukee. Then they got swept in Chicago by a team that's under 500 in the Cubs. So they needed this win. There's no such thing as a bad win, but they definitely envisioned it to go a different way. Speaking of Dave Roberts, we haven't heard from him. Let's go downstairs to the Dodgers clubhouse to hear from Dave himself.
Yeah, on the offensive side, there were so many good things, a lot of good things. Some guys got on track, good at bats, just team offense was really good tonight, and got the starter out of there, got to their pen. Really good, kept the line moving, some big two-out hits, just across the board, just some tough at-bats.
And with some of the bullpen struggles, how do you work through getting these guys to be able to allow to get through the innings with Dennis and Mitch and Garrett as well?
Yeah, you know, I just think that you got to come in and throw strikes. In a game, a 13-run lead, we got to be able to close out four innings, and that's just there's no other way to do it.
And we've talked about with Blake Treinen getting a little unlucky with some of those first hitters. Were you impressed with his execution tonight?
Really good. Really good. Got some swing and miss and strikeouts. Kept that first hitter off the bases. It was nice to see him get a clean inning. He was getting loose earlier in the eighth inning, so to run him back out there for the ninth made sense. And we got Kenley fresh for tomorrow.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep.
Next question is from Juan Toribio. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, obviously he wanted to stay in, but what kind of went into taking Kershaw out there before the sixth?
Yeah, I mean, it's short rest. He did everything. He took it for the team as far as taking the baseball on short rest in May. And so to go out there and on short rest and give us five innings of shutout baseball with 13-run lead, there's just not a whole lot of upside, in my opinion, to have him go one way.
All right. I'm not sure if Dave Roberts was in the clubhouse or on the planet Pluto. Yes, I still consider Pluto a planet, but not sure the Wi-Fi connection or wherever Dave was. A lot of traffic down there, wherever he was. 866-987-2570. Dodgers hold on for a 14-11 win here at Angel Stadium. 866-987-2570. Ned Colletti will join us at 11:15 tonight. Let's go out to Costa Mesa. Colin, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What do you have about tonight's game, Colin?
I got a couple things, Dave. I got a comment and a question. Comment is good to see Sheldon Noisy play well. He had a good base running, good hit, couple of good plays at third, and also good to see DJ get his first base hit as a big leaguer. So I think for those two guys, it's good.
Yeah, DJ Peters with, I guess, a questionable first big league hit. I thought that was a foul ball, but they called it fair, so good for DJ.
Yeah, we'll take it. And then my question for you actually is on the umpiring. You know, the balls and strikes, I know everybody's been talking about how bad it's been. I'm just wondering if you've heard anything of what baseball or the Dodgers or anybody's doing about it. I don't know if there is anything, but it just seems like, you know, momentum-wise with the Dodgers, it's a team that doesn't swing, it pitches out of the zone. And so when the umpires, when the strike zones are so wide, it seems like it's affecting them. I'm sure it's both, it goes both ways, but even last night, Julio rung up Justin Upton with a strike three, high in the zone. It's called a ball. Next pitch is in the seats, and all of a sudden he's given up four runs. And so instead of, you know, two outs, nobody on, it's, you know, one nothing, one out, and he just kind of gets away from him. So I'm just more curious if you've heard anything.
I have not, except from the Dodgers. I mean, they haven't been very happy with the umpiring, and nobody has said that in the interviews, obviously, but you could tell by the conversations they're having. And, you know, tonight the strike zone wasn't wide. It was tight. And last night, you're right, Colin, there was that strike to Justin Upton that was called a ball a couple of times, and I think part of that has to go to presenting the strike really well for the umpire. I think you have to take that into the equation, and that's why Austin Barnes is so good as a receiver doing that. But another part of the equation is the Dodgers had the same umpiring crew for 10 straight games going back to their last homestand. That umpiring crew flew with them to Milwaukee and also was there in Chicago. So it wasn't the best of umpiring crews. And some, you know, there's a reason why under normal circumstances you rotate umpiring crews through every series. So I think that's part of it as well.
Right on. I appreciate it.
Okay, Colin. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's go out to our friend Paolo in San Diego. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Paolo?
Hi, David. First of all, a very happy Mother's Day to your lovely wife.
Thank you.
You know,
we took my mom out for lunch today before the game. So, yeah, it was a good day.
Listen, I was at the restaurant. This disgruntled San Diego Padre, he kept, you know, giving me the updates about, you know, the Padre lost 7-1, and then they were 13-0 at the restaurant. It was very busy tonight. So I told my daughter, listen, I'm going to go and watch the rest of the game. And sure enough, I got on the car. I'm listening to Charlie Steiner. And I really almost pulled off, you know, I always, you know, and I said, 14-0, are you bloody kidding me? I was going home. I said, are you kidding me? I said, what the hell is going on in here? How the hell you give up?
That's how I felt. You're at Angel Stadium, Paolo. What the hell is going on here? That's how I was feeling when the Angels were making this close. And I had a feeling they were going to make it close the way things were going. It comes down to not throwing strikes, Paolo. I don't know what else to tell you. It comes down to not throwing strikes. It's a 13-run lead. And like I said, you could agree or disagree and debate whether or not Kershaw should have kept going. He does have 7 days of rest. He's not going to pitch again until next Saturday against the Marlins at Dodger Stadium. But nonetheless, a 13-0 lead. I think these are, if I remember, these are the world champion Dodgers, right? The team that said they have enough talent to go back-to-back, right, in spring training. So you would imagine they would have enough talent to hold on to a 13-0 lead. And obviously, they were able to do that, but at the expense of getting Victor Gonzalez and Blake Treinen into the game. And that's not something you want when you're going to these guys on a nightly basis in these close games. Let's go out to Riverside. Matthew, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, David. Dodger Nation back in the W column, which is really nice today. I just want to say one quick thing about Dave Roberts. Answered the question perfectly, saying that there's a lot of opportunities for these guys, and they need to perform. These, Clevinger, White, Santana.
Yeah, they have prophetic words.
They have some opportunities right now.
Yeah, they sure do. They sure do. It's a very great comment. Love to hear that cliche over again. Thank you. Let's go out to Sacramento. Frank, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up, Frank?
LA's favorite son, David Vasse. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'd like to, first off, I'd like to wish all the mothers out there and your mother and your beautiful wife a happy Mother's Day. I'm going to be celebrating the big 53 at Clubhouse 56 with the watch party tomorrow for our Sacramento area Dodgers sports fans. But my question to you is, what a great win today with Clayton. If you were in Robert's position, if you were the manager, would you have taken Clayton out after the fifth inning, or would you have left him in with the 13-0 lead and cruising right along?
Oh, people down in the dugout hate when I start doing that, but I would have left him in for one inning, one more inning, and not have your bullpen have to cover four. But that's just me. I'm old school. 71 pitches doesn't seem like that much to me when you have 7 days rest coming up and not going to pitch until next Saturday. But that's still no excuse for blowing a 13-0 lead, or almost blowing a 13-0 lead.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Jeez, that's all you wanted from me? All right. Every season, Daniel's Jewelers gives fans the chance to win a $50 gift card for guessing the correct number of home runs. For your chance to play, visit am570lasports.com and use the keyword home run for your chance to enter this season. Yes, Mookie Betts starting to show that he is far from over as far as this season goes. He came into the season with just 6 RBIs, and so far in the first two nights here in Anaheim, he has driven in 5, including 4 tonight. He is 4-for-7 with 5 RBIs in this series. He hit a home run and a double last night. Tonight he came back to drive in 4 runs without hitting a home run. So that's what the Dodgers did tonight. They didn't really hit the ball super hard, but, you know, sometimes you don't have to hit it really hard. Just hit them where they're not. And in that 8-run fourth inning, finally things were going the Dodgers' way offensively, because not only have they been struggling, but also when they do hit the ball hard, it seemed like they've been hitting it right at the infielders. And tonight it was nice to see them get some opposite field hits, get a couple of infield singles, and maybe that's starting to turn the tide for their offense. They do put up 14 runs tonight as they beat the Angels 14-11. When we continue here live from Angel Stadium, we'll check in with Ned Coletti, Sportsnet LA analyst, right here on AM570 LA Sports.
On air at AM 570, online at AM570LASports.com, and available by podcast on the iHeartRadio app. This is Dodger Talk with David Bassett.
David Vassay live at Angel Stadium in Anaheim, where the Dodgers snapped their four-game losing streak and beat the Angels by a final score of 14-11. Clayton Kershaw gets the win, Dylan Bundy the losing pitcher, and Blake Treinen with his first save of the season. Also, DJ Peters came into the game and got his first ever major league hit, so that's pretty cool for the Glendora native. Let's head out to the Sportsnet LA studios, where former Dodger GM Ned Coletti is. And Ned, put this in perspective from a guy that used to be in management. How would you look at tonight's win by the Dodgers?
Well, I would take some good out of it offensively, especially those two innings. We scored 13 runs over two of them, but from that point on, you've got to make pitches. Your bullpen has got to come in, and they got to get outs. They can't be running the high counts. They can't be falling behind hitters. If you can't pitch, if you're a young guy and you cannot pitch with a big lead like that, how are you going to do in a game that is tight and where you can't have no margin of error? To go from 13-0 to 14-11, disappointing for the bullpen. That will concern me more than the offense would please me.
Hey, Ned, when you bring in pitchers into a blowout game like that, sometimes they don't have the same adrenaline as they would if it was a close game. But at some point, you have to convey to them that that was vital for them to get those outs, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're not talking about a lot of veterans that have got, you know, a long resume and been in 150 games and have closed games and been in the show for a long time. You're talking about guys still trying to get established and still trying to get experience. And so I grant them that piece of it, that they're still, you know, getting their feet wet a little bit, and so they're still trying to get comfortable with being in the big leagues. But you're not going to find many easier situations. Not that it's easy to play in the big leagues, I'm not saying that, but in that realm, you're not going to find very many easier spots than to have a lead that size. And then you start to give it up little by little by little. You just can't do that, because the games are going to get tougher. They're not going to get easier.
When you look at this Dodger ball club tonight, Ned, they were able to put up 14 runs without hitting a home run in that eight-run fourth inning. Matt Beatty's double was the only extra base hit of that inning. So was it a little bit of good luck and good fortune for the Dodgers on some of those infield singles that could turn the tide for them?
Oh, absolutely. And you had a lot of, you know, we talk about exit velocity a lot of times. Most of those hits were in the 80-mile-an-hour range, some 50 and 60-mile-per-hour. So it's not really about exit velocity as much as it's about place hitting. And as they said 100 years ago, hit them where they ain't, you know. And that's a key thing. But also their ability to hit with runners in scoring position. I think they were 3-for-36 during a four-game losing streak. They had 23 at-bats tonight with runners in scoring position and had 11 hits. So that, to me, is a positive change. And whether they're hitting at 110 miles an hour over the wall, or they're hitting at 60 miles an hour, tapping it down to third baseline or tapping it down to first baseline, you take it. You take hits. You take run production. That's how they keep score. Run production is all that counts. So good to see a home run. Didn't have to play into it, but really good to see guys get back and get some confidence, especially maybe at the top of the order there with Mookie and Seager.
Yeah, it looks like Mookie Betts is back, Ned.
Yeah, he's had a few good games here. I thought last night was excellent. The double down the line, the ground rule double, then the homer to left center. Really quick through the zone. And good to see that. And Corey, too, tonight had a couple at bats where the swing looked a little bit more like it had the first three, 4 weeks of the season, and the way it looked all of last year. So good to see that, and good to see the other guys contributing. And Matt Beatty, too. He's had a, you know, this road trip has been rugged on the club, but he's had a pretty good trip.
Yeah, he's had a great trip, and he's been great with the bases loaded. He now has 9 RBIs and 6 at-bats with the bases loaded this season. And I guess you've been in that position, Ned, where you see a guy pressing and you send him down and you just need to give him a mental breather. And I've never seen a player, at least in recent memory, that has been able to flourish after having just a few days down the minor leagues to clear his head.
Well, different guys react differently. I think as I look back on 2019 with Matt Beatty, he really was somebody that really wasn't high on anybody's list, but came in, had I think probably 40 RBIs and really limited plate appearances. It really struck me as somebody that was going to take advantage of every situation and take nothing for granted. A little bit like Zach McKinstry, one of those type of guys that's going to grind it out. Then last year, a little bit upside down for him, was not the same type of year. But I think he's somebody that plays the game hard and concentrates. And when he got sent down, it was probably a little bit of a shake at, hey, you know what? You know, I may be running out of time, and there's other guys that are going to get opportunity. Because, see, it's one thing to be in the big leagues and struggle and this and that. But when you get sent down, you don't know if you're ever coming back. People will tell you, hey, just go down, get straightened out, we'll see you later. But you know what? Later may be a long time. So you never know. Once you get down there, sometimes it's tough to get back up. So it's good to see how he approached it and what he's been able to do since he's been back up here, because he's been swinging it well, and we know he can do it. This isn't just a wish. We know that he's capable of doing it.
All right, Ned, thanks a lot for the insight as always, and hopefully the Dodgers can close out this series with a win and get their first series win on this road trip.
Yeah, I like the idea with Bauer going tomorrow after the W. Give us some length, perhaps, and keep the ball rolling here in a good way.
All right, sounds good, Ned. We'll talk to you after tomorrow's Mother's Day afternoon game.
Thank you, David.
There he goes, Ned Colletti, Sportsnet LA analyst for the Dodgers. And Ned actually hired Joe Torre to manage the Dodgers back in 2008. And Joe Torre was my guest on episode 6 of the Extra Innings podcast. And I figured I'd share with you a portion of that 25-minute conversation with Torre, because I did ask him about that famous conversation that Clayton Kershaw always talks about when he got called up, and Joe Torre telling him and James McDonald in his office, hey, you guys got to come up with a third pitch. Kershaw found one. It was a slider, and Joe had a little bit different version of that story when I asked him about it on Extra Innings, the podcast, episode 6. Joe, he tells the story pretty often about how you challenged him to get another pitch, and that pitch turned out to be the slider. Do you remember that day in your office?
I think it was more than a day. Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty hard-headed, you know, when he first came up as a kid, and
he hasn't changed, Joe. I got to give you an update. He hasn't changed.
Oh, no. I didn't expect he would. But, you know, Rick Honeycutt, our pitching coach, because we just felt he needed something else he could throw for a strike beside the fastball. Because the curveball was so big that even if it was a strike, you know, the chances are that it has to be so perfect to get a called strike on that big curveball. And so he needed something in between that he could throw for a strike when he got behind in the count. And it took a little time. It took a little time, but he finally gave it a shot. And, I think it made a big difference for him. But the one thing I remember, David, I mean, you may appreciate this. We're in Vero Beach. It was the last year and my first year with the Dodgers in 08. And he's pitching a night game in Vero. And we brought him over from the minor league side to pitch for us. And the first pitch he threw, I forgot who we were playing, but the first pitch he threw, the hitter hit it out of the ballpark. Huh. You know, and here I am. I mean, I only know of Kershaw. You know, he was like 19 years old or whatever it was. But, I see him throw the first pitch in a home run. And I looked right at him. I didn't look where I knew that when the ball left the bat, it was gone. But I looked right at him, and he never even turned around to look at the ball. He just said to the umpire, give me a ball. And that showed me a lot. That showed me a lot. You know, he wasn't trying to impress anybody, but he knew that he's got to get better than you know, giving up a homer on the first pitch. So he was, it just made him more determined, which you know, it was really fun to see for me.
And that was Joe Torre on episode 6 of the Extra Innings podcast presented by Corona. You can download every episode, including that one, on the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you consume your podcast. And it was a great conversation with Joe Torre, not only about his stories like that about Clayton Kershaw, but also what it takes to win back-to-back championships. And him and his wife are still doing great things with the Safe at Home Foundation. So I definitely encourage you to listen to episode 6 of the Extra Innings podcast. Clayton Kershaw's first manager, Joe Torre. And it's funny how he was encouraging him to find a third pitch. And here he is tonight throwing his slider 37 times and throwing his fastball 25 times and his curveball only 9 times tonight in 5 innings of scoreless work. So that's the evolution of a career, even for a future Hall of Famer in Clayton Kershaw. And I love that Joe Torre said it was more than just one meeting in his office. It took a few meetings for him to get him to come up with a third pitch. So this the great storyteller, a great manager, a great player, Joe Torre, and it's always great to hear that perspective. All right, tomorrow the Dodgers will be closing out this 10-game road trip with the final game here in Anaheim. Trevor Bauer will be on the mound tomorrow. He's 3-1 with an ERA of 2.44, going up against former White Sox left-hander Jose Quintana, who has not been very good for the Angels this year. He's 0-3 with an ERA of 10.59. He has given up 20 earned runs in 7 innings of work this season. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at noon tomorrow. First pitch at 1:10 on Mother's Day. So we will talk to you then. Thanks to Colin Yee for his help back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald back at Dodger Stadium. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show or any Dodger talks or any pregame interviews, you could podcast that on the iHeartRadio app or AM570LASports.com. Once again, the final score from Angel Stadium. The Dodgers had a 13-0 lead. The Angels stormed back, and the Dodgers were able to hold on to snap their 4-game losing streak with a 14-11 win here in Anaheim. Have a great night. See ya.